a rather a strange verse, perhaps, to use for the communion meditation. I know you've all read it, or at least heard the verse, but a lot of times we just kind of skip over it. The verse is out of Mark chapter 15, verse 33. And it simply says, at noon, the whole country became dark and continued until 3 o'clock. By looking at this, I want you to see or to think about what Jesus was experiencing for you. Now, I've had to rework this in my mind several times to keep from turning it into a sermon. But I want us to briefly think about what was going on that day and that evening of the Passover. Jesus has been telling his disciples, and if you've been with us in Mark, you know that after Peter made his good confession, "You are the Christ." After that point, Jesus began to explain to them that he was going to die and raise again on the third day. They didn't understand it at that point. That's where we are in our study of Mark. But now he's in Jerusalem. The Passover is taking place. And he's explained to them about his... Well, let me back up. I'm not ready to do the communion part of it yet, but let's just look at what takes place. He says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Then he took a cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant," is one way it's stated. Matthew says it's the blood of the covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. Then from there, they go to the garden. And at the garden, he prays, "If possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but yours be done." Then we go to, he's arrested, he's taken, he's beat, scourged, and ultimately nailed to a cross. That's 9 o'clock in the morning. And while he's on the cross, you have the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and the crowd mocking him. That's bad enough to have that humiliation and the pain. But at noon, the country turns dark. And it'll stay dark until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The question comes, why did it become dark? Now, the answer that I usually hear, and you can read, it's the simple one. It's because God couldn't look at his son, because he carried the sins of the world. I think it's really more than that, though. Darkness represents separation. And at that point, it's more than God can't look at his son. There is a gulf now fixed between them because Jesus is carrying the sins of the world. Now put yourself in Jesus' place. He's never been separated from his Father, even when he's here on this earth. And John goes so far as to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that's been that has come into being. So you get the picture? He's always been there. They've always been together. Even when he gave up his position and came to this earth, there was still fellowship. You see it when he goes to pray by himself. You see it at his baptism, and God said, "This is my beloved Son." You see it again at the Transfiguration when Peter, James, and John are there, and he tells them, "This is my Son, listen to him." Now, there's a gulf between them caused by sin, because he's carrying the sins of the world. That helps us understand another verse in Mark chapter 15, verse 34. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, and I'm using the easy-to-read version here. It's Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you left me alone?" That's the picture. That separation. If you go to John then, the 19th chapter, you get the end of that picture. When all things had been accomplished concerning him, John says Jesus bowed his head and said, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. He died for us, for our sin. That's what was separating him from his Father. And that's what separates us. And if it wasn't for Christ, that gulf would still be there. Now, that's not the end of the story, of course. The rest of the story goes on to say, when he died, the earth shook, rocks split, and the veil in the temple split from the top to the bottom, exposing the Holy of Holies, the official spot where God was to be. And it exposed it for everyone. That's what Christ did for us. He made it possible for us to be reunited with the Father. Hopefully that will help you remember what he did. So let's go ahead and take the cup and the loaf. We'll start with the bread. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He's basically saying, remember what I did or what I'm going to do. So let's take it together. Then he talked about the cup. He said, "It's the blood of the new covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let's take it. When he died on the cross, it ended the old covenant. We don't live by law. We live by grace. And it's because of his dying and his blood that covers our sin. We need to remember that. That's what he says. Do this in remembrance of me. Paul went on to add, for as often as you do this, as often as you do this, you show forth the Lord's death until he comes. He's emphasizing the promise that he's coming again. And we can be united with God. That's not possible without Christ. So let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that Jesus was willing to come and to die for us, to be separated from you, so that we could be reunited with you. We're thankful that Jesus was willing to suffer the humiliation and the pain and the separation for us. Help us to remember his love and to remember that he's coming again. Help us to be ready for that event. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.